I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen. Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here with yet another Road to Diamond interview. And I know those of you that have saw this one promoted probably can't wait to hear our version of Melissa Pepping's story in Young Living because she's famous, right? I've seen her at conventions. She has these droves of people that follow her, looking to get her autograph, looking to get a picture. I don't know that anybody in the history of Young Living has accomplished what this lady has accomplished, not only in building the Royal Crown Diamond, from where she calls home, which we'll talk about, but she, of course, has contributed so many other monumental things to Young Living, from the Savvy Mineral lines to her books, The Toxic Free Home and Before Beauty, which perhaps we'll talk about. There's a lot going on in the creativity and the horsepower of this lady. And we're going to talk about like where she came from and how she got inspired to do all this in Young Living. Say hi, Melissa, to everyone.
Hi, hello. I am so honored to be here. My gosh, I am blushing. That was... Ooh, I'm listening to Richard thinking, who in the world is he talking about? Because it just sounds so surreal. So thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Well, I guess that's the humility that comes from coming from and still living in Spring Hill, Minnesota. Population,
Seven,
how many?
76.
76 people. Yeah. And so I think it's safe to say, are you the only Royal Crown Diamond in Spring Hill, Minnesota?
Currently I am, but I've got one of my leaders is coming in hot. So, I won't be for long. And I don't want to be the only one here as a Royal Crown Diamond. I actually just talked to her the other day and I'm like, come on, could you imagine like more diamonds in this town and the things that we could do? Like, it would be amazing. So,
Melissa, yeah. We have to talk about the numbers you were telling about us about the census of Spring Hill 10 years ago and today, and the difference in the average income that you and that platinum have made. Could you tell us that story? That's so awesome.
Yeah. So I've always loved numbers. In fact, Richard, when I was 10 years old, I knew that it took $83,333.33 a month to make $1 million a year. Like, I have always loved numbers. And so when my husband moved me out to Spring Hill, one of the first things I, you know, kind of looked at was all the details of Spring Hill. And the average income per year per person was $12,763. It was the 32nd poorest city in the entire state of Minnesota. And I remember thinking at that time, I wonder how much fun it would be to change the census report. And so a couple of years ago when the census reporting came out, I filled it out. I was so excited. I sent it in and I got a phone call about a month later from the census office. And she's like, we're just going through the census reports and it looks like you had a few errors on yours and we just want to go through them with you. She's like, when we got to the income portion, we needed the annual, or how'd she say it? We needed the monthly income per person, and it looks like you may have filled out the annual income for the both of you. And I said, oh my gosh, I am so embarrassed. What number did I give you? And she told me, and I said, oh no, that's right. She goes, yeah, for annual, for the both. I said, no, for me, for 1 month. And so when, and I was just pulling these numbers not that long ago, the average income per person per year had been unchanged for about 12 years. And so when I just relooked at it again, it had actually just tripled. And so I'm here, and I have one of my other girls here as a platinum, but she has crown diamond volume. So do math. Yeah. So we've made a little bit of an impact in this tiny little town, and we're nowhere near done yet.
Isn't that amazing? And the census lady probably is still scratching her head trying to figure out how does that work.
Exactly.
In Spring Hill, Minnesota. But she doesn't realize that that income is coming from tens of thousands of people in, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 countries around the world. And all of that, all those little income centers are pouring, funneling into one check into Spring Hill.
Yes.
So you can live anywhere in the world, and as long as you got an internet connection, you can earn from anywhere in the world on lots and lots and lots of people. So, Melissa, tell us about you before Young Living.
I
know you were a customer two or three different times, and you started building in 2010. So I'm curious, just generally, who were you in life and where were you and what were you doing before you discovered Young Living, the income opportunity?
Well, I've worked on commission since I was 18 years old. When my friends were doing the college and the party scene, I decided I wanted to make money. And so I got into the car business, bought my first house when I was 19 on the lake. Bought a jet boat. I kind of laugh because when I traded in the jet boat, I bought the jet boat when I was 18. And so when I was 19 and bought my house, I traded in the jet boat and got a ski boat. And I'm also from a small town about 30 minutes from here. And my grandpa had the mobile station in town. And it was like my grandma knew everything. Like if you wanted to know what was happening in town, you called Angie because she knew.
Right.
And so I got to the freeway exit and, you know, made my turn to go home. By the time I got in like the driveway, I could already hear the phone ringing in the garage. And so I run to answer the phone and my grandma goes, "What did you buy?" I'm like, "What? I just got home." She's like, "They saw you already off of the freeway exit." I'm like, "Oh, good Lord." And so it just this, you know, beautiful small town environment. But I've always loved working commission because I had the ability to control my own paycheck. I didn't want to leave it in the hands of someone else to determine my worth. I knew what I was worth and I knew what I was capable of. And that's why I always loved working on commission. And in 1998, I had a friend introduce me to lavender essential oil. And I'm like, "Hey, this is great. It helps me sleep good." You know, had a little blemish on my face, worked great for that. So I became a member and never bought anything, you know, again, and then went inactive. And then in 2000, I'm like, "Hey, I got another, you know, blemish. I should get another bottle of lavender." Got another bottle of lavender, went inactive. And then in 2002, enrolled again. But it wasn't until 2005 that I really became involved in a Young Living lifestyle, wanting to incorporate it in every facet of my home, because that's the year that I became a mother for the first time. And all of a sudden, everything mattered. And I just wanted to go back to the way my grandma had taught me how to make my own things, how to really pay attention to the ingredients and products, making things from scratch, taking control over the products that you're using. And then in 2010, I financially was at a bad place. I wanted to be home raising my kids. So I decided the best way to do that, of course, is to start your own daycare. I thought I was the smartest person in the world for coming up with that idea. As it turns out, that was not for me. And so there I was, you know, a year and a half into doing daycare. It was July 2010. Richard, I balanced my checking account and there were $7 and like 40 some odd cents left in our checking account. And there were still bills to pay. I've never missed a bill in my entire life. I've never failed at something so horribly. I didn't even know how to tell my husband. And all I thought was, you know, Kimi could maybe relate to this. You know, you're hanging a picture and then the hammer slips and you knock a big hole in the wall and you're like, I can fix this. Before he even sees it, I can fix this. And so that's what I thought I could do with this little income problem. I can fix this before Wayne even sees this. I can fix this. And so I got on the phone and called my sponsor in Young Living. And I remember saying these words exactly. I want in. Please show me how to do this. I want in. I need to make money now.
All right. I got to stop you there, Melissa, because I'm curious about a couple things. What had your sponsor told you up to that point that had you even know there was an income opportunity?
She had told me nothing. So I didn't know there was an income opportunity. I only assumed.
All right. Well, here's another question for you. Do you know who the two sponsors were that you had years earlier that got you the lavender that never showed you the income opportunity?
I do. One of them was my best friend. She was my maid of honor and she went inactive and I bumped up to her sponsor. And now my best friend is enrolled under me.
Wow.
I know. We don't talk about the income that happens in Young Living. And then the woman who I had bumped up to, I don't know where she is today or what she's doing. God love her. She had really tried to show me like the educational piece, but it was just so overwhelming to me that I just didn't even know where to start. And I just wanted that bottle of lavender.
All right. So you decided to fix the hole in the wall before Wayne saw it.
Boy, did I ever.
So how did you go about hustling quickly in Young Living to build an income? What was your first 3 months like? Maybe your first year? What did you do?
Well, here was the big wake-up call for me. You know how when you can see a bigger vision for your life, you just don't know how it's going to fall into place. And we have a tendency to get really caught up on the, how's this going to work? What am I going to do? What's the plan? What are my steps? That we ignore the steps that are presenting themselves. I was so caught up for so long on, okay, what do I do? How am I going to do this? That it wasn't until that day that I realized that I have all these daycare moms that also have kids that have been asking me, why does my house smell so good? Why are my kids always healthy when theirs aren't? What is that thing going in the corner that's, you know, spouting that little noise with that little bottle tipped upside down? Why does my floor cleaner smell like flowers and not, you know, something harsh and extreme? They're asking me all these questions. All these opportunities were already presenting themselves and I was literally not even seeing it. So I started with sharing with my daycare moms and showing them how to make the cleaners I was making, how I was taking care of my kids, how I was making my laundry detergent, my everything. I just showed them everything and they fell in love. And then they started asking me more. And so I started sharing more and all of a sudden it was this community that just completely developed. And it does feel like it happened so quickly, but Richard, everybody was so in the spirit of what we were doing because it was a community of moms coming together. And for the first time in a long time, Richard, we all felt like we belonged to something and it was right. And it felt right. And it looked right. And it was incredible. And it put us all in the spirit of it.
And it's interesting that sometimes people, Melissa, look at small towns like Spring Hill and say, well, how could I ever build a business here? Because there's not very many people here. But my experience is that people in small towns, they trust each other. They network. They're not quite as busy running everywhere. And they are tending to look for some way to connect, some way to do something bigger than themselves. It's actually, I think, a much greater opportunity than if you were in downtown Minneapolis and you got a million people to deal with.
Yeah.
It may look like an advantage to be there, but I'd much rather be in Spring Hill. And I just listening to your story, it reminded me of how how much easier it is to connect and create community in these towns that are really all about community, as opposed to, you know, materialism and rushing here and rushing there. And that's a different energy.
It is. It's one of the things that I love most about watching a small town like this or a farming community is how it's not like our neighbor, for instance. It's not just us that's doing our farm work. It's not just him that's doing his farm work. It's like the three guys out here, and they're all helping each other. Like, this one has this piece of equipment, this one has that piece of equipment, and it's this beautiful community. And so yes, it becomes trusting. They call my husband to say, hey, what do you think of this? He calls them to say, you know, what do you think of that? And so it's the same thing among the wives too. And it is, it really is beautiful. It to me is that true essence of it takes a village to raise a child or to raise a family. Everyone comes together and works together. So it is beautiful to watch. There's a livingness in it for sure.
It's perfect for network marketing, which leads me to my next question. One of the things you told me pre-interview is how much you love network marketing. When in your Young Living career did you recognize what network marketing was? And that you were actually doing that, and what the upside potential is. When did you make that shift, if you ever did, from being a sharer to a more intentional network marketing leader?
Well, here's the funny thing. I remember calling when I called my sponsor on July 11th, 2009. I will never forget that day. I have it written down. And this is what I told her. Because she asked me, she said, okay, what do you want to make in like 6 months from now, in 2 years from now, in 5 years from now? And what are you willing to do to get there, to really have your business take off? And so when I told her, I said, well, right away, I really am looking to make $500 a month. That's really where I'm looking to be. And then I would say within about 6 months, you know, if I could get that up to 1,000, maybe in 2 years, if I could be making $2,000 a month, and in 5 years, I definitely want to be making $5,000 a month. And there was dead silence on the other end of the phone. And this is what I thought. Oh my God, I asked for way too much. I thought that was ridiculous, and that was greedy, and you can't make that kind of money in this business. I am so delusional. And so she responded back and she said, I think that could be doable. And she kind of, you know, giggled a little bit, and she said, what are you willing to do to get there? These were my words, and I quote, I am not going door to door like some Mary Kay makeup salesperson. And the irony of that, of course, is I'm the one who created makeup for the company and encouraged people to go door to door having parties.
Right.
So yeah. that I got into this that day still feeling like I was selling my soul to the devil. I felt like I was going to be the salesperson. I felt like I was going to be the one that, you know, family wanted to avoid. It just didn't feel or look sexy to me. It didn't look professional to me. And I only knew what I knew. It was about a month into it. So like in August, and I started to really look at what is network marketing and looked at what some other industry leaders looked like. And in September, I had my first class, hosted my first event. I felt like a professional who was on her way to earn a professional income. I took some time to think about what I wanted this business to look like to me and what I wanted to represent. I wanted it to be classy. I wanted it to be professional. I wanted it to be incredibly sexy. I wanted it to be glamorous. And so those were all of the characteristics that I really focused on. And that, Richard, is when I fell in love with network marketing and what it could be and what it could represent, because it can be and represent whatever you want it to be.
You created a vision, clearly crafted intentionally, well thought out, aligned with your values and your philosophies and your ambitions. You created it. Melissa, I mean, so few people do that. That's not a 1 out of 100 thing. That's a 1 out of 10,000 people thing.
Thank you.
Such an extraordinary gift. I'm curious, great gift to your sponsor who asked you, how much do you want to earn right away in a year, in a couple of years, in 5 years? And what are you willing to do to get it? What is her name?
Star. My sponsor's name is Star Moray. And I actually met her because I worked with her husband in the car business. So she was the first person in 1998 that ever introduced me to the word essential oils. So when it came time in 2002 where I was going to, I'm really going to use this stuff, I went back and reached out to her. And that's who I chose my sponsorship under.
Well, she did you a great service by asking you those questions. And so I'm curious, Melissa, I know you've done a ton of work post Young Living, work with Bob Proctor and other great coaches. But back then, where did you get the wisdom to design your network marketing business with that level of detail and intention? Where did that come from?
Bob often jokes and calls me an unconscious competent. I think he's spot on there. I have always had a very creative imagination, and I think it came from growing up in the childhood that I had. My parents got divorced when I was very young. My dad was an alcoholic. I just didn't come from like that normal security. And so I saw a lot of abuse. I saw a lot of fighting. I saw a lot of yelling. I saw a lot of neglect and abandonment. And I just remember watching that when I was little and thinking, there's no way that God created humans to live and feel this way. There has to be something greater. There has to be something greater for me. I refuse to accept that this is the rest of my life. And I was 5. I will never forget that day sitting in my grandma's bed, just thinking there is so much more to life than this. This is not it. And so it really became me getting lost in my daydreams of who do I want to be and where do I want to go and what do I want it all to look like? And I've never been one to sit and think of the logistics of something. I always just think of, how great is the end result going to be? It's one of those walk around with, your head in the clouds. I remember eavesdropping outside of my 4th grade conferences, and the teacher said to my mom, "She's a beautiful young child, but we have to do something about her daydreaming." And I just thank God nothing was done about my daydreaming, because I don't know where I would be today if I would have really accepted that that was a bad thing. I've always realized that the things that I've thought about, I could bring about. You'd think about something and it just happens. You think about a friend and they phone. You picture all green lights on the way to town and you get all green lights on the way to town. I just always walked around in this, Pollyanna happy kind of place in my head. And so in 2005, somebody introduced me to The Secret. And so I watched that movie and it resonated with every core of my being. And I finally understood a little bit about what this law of attraction is, and that you truly can design your life any way you want to design it. And those were the things, whether it was me listening to Danny Johnson, listening to you, listening to Bob Proctor, listening to Napoleon Hill, Earl Nightingale, whenever they would say, your circumstances don't define you, design the life you want. Those comments always resonated so deeply with me, and then, took my mind off on the bunny trail. And so in 2005, when I watched The Secret, I was immediately drawn to the things that Bob Proctor was saying. And I love how he spoke so eloquently and in such a classic manner about the law of attraction. And so I started following him a little bit more on YouTube. He talked about Napoleon Hill. And so I read Think and Grow Rich. And then in 2012, he was the guest speaker at convention for Young Living. I nearly fainted when I saw that in the newsletter. I'm like, I'm going to meet, you know, my biggest, you know, idol. This is incredible. Well, as it turns out, I didn't get a chance to hear him talk because our flight was scheduled early. And so we had to leave.
Wow.
But I connected with Adam Green after that, because Adam did stay and watch it, and Adam loved it. And so Adam and I started a Think and Grow Rich book club, and we every week broke down a chapter, and I became so in love with that book and all of the teachings. And so I've really been a student of the Law of Attraction since 2005. I'm not going to add up how many years that is. And I've been coaching under the Proctor Gallagher Institute since 2015, I think it's been. So
yeah, beautiful work. Adam has told me many times about the impact Bob Proctor had on him at the convention 2012. And I didn't meet Adam, I think, until 2013. But isn't it amazing? And Bob Proctor's story is amazing. Mm-hmm. I'll send you something that you'll love about Bob Proctor. So many things we could talk about, Melissa. I want to bring this back to most of the people watching around the world, I trust, whether it's now or 5 years from now, people will be watching this interview. Most of them, Melissa, are going to be stars, senior stars, executives, you know, silvers, stuck silvers.
Mm-hmm. I was a stuck silver for almost two years.
Mm-hmm. Right, there you go.
Yeah.
So what would you say to those people, let's say not about Royal Crown Diamond or Crown Diamond, or, you know, maybe even Diamond, even though all of these interviews are about how to get to Diamond and above, but what would you say to those people about, you know, even getting to the rank that would make the difference for them? Everybody has a rank that when they get to that rank, the income and the self-esteem and the confidence, that just opens the floodgates then to be able to do whatever they want to do. You know, it could be silver, it could be gold, it could be platinum. For some, it just might be executive and that $500 a month. What would you say to the people? Because we know that most people watching this are struggling. Most people are not, you know, just manifesting everything they want and going from one rank to the other and, you know, building big teams. They have spurts, but most people are struggling. What would you say to the people struggling that are thinking, because they're not thinking about manifestation, Melissa? They're thinking about, how do I do this? How do I, not a good word, but probably the word they use, how do I get other people to do this? Mm-hmm. What would you say to them if, Melissa, you were the last person they ever got to hear? Like, if you don't shift them, nobody's going to shift them. What would you say to them right now?
Here's what I wish I could go back and tell my stuck at silver self. I would have grabbed myself and shook myself by the shoulders. I got so wrapped up in looking at everyone else and how everyone else was doing it and how I thought I should be doing it according to everyone else. And I started to lose the picture of how I wanted to do it and what I wanted it to look like. And so I started to lose myself a little bit. You have to paint the picture of how you see this and be true to that, because that's what's going to keep you in the spirit of it. Doing it my way, doing it, you know, her way, his way, their way, doing what they said, he said, she said, you're not going to be in the spirit of it because you're not going to see your beautiful vision anymore. And you, that vision was gifted to you. That image was gifted to you by such a greater power that you may not even ever understand. But once you see that life, once you see what you could actually create, when you paint that image in your mind, you can never unsee it. Never. You can never unsee the greatness that you have imaged and that you've painted that picture of. And so that is worth every single day taking one step closer to achieve. There's no such thing as, oh, I've reached this rank and this is good enough for me. However happily life has circumstanced you at the moment, you can still achieve greater. You can still achieve more. That advancing life, that's the true life. That's what's going to keep you in the spirit of everything. So if I could go back and tell my stuck at silver self absolutely anything, it would have just been to go back every single day, look at how I want this to look, where I want this to go, and remember that thing, that beautiful thing that I'm doing this all for in the first place. And I think what happens, Richard, is that too many people stake this on a rank title or stake this on, you know, oh, my leaders want this and my leaders want that. Look, whatever you make as your essential, whether that be, oh, you're upline supposed to do this for you, or your downline won't step up. You're making your upline the essential. You're making your downline the essential, or all these people won't come to my class. You're making all these people the essential. And then what happens then is you will stand or fall with them accordingly. And I've met enough people in this world to know I don't want to stand with anyone else because I don't want to fall with them. Other people have fears, anxieties, paradigms they're working through. I don't want to be victim to that too, right? So I need to go back to think about what I want. What's my essential? What's my essential vision? What's my essential goal? And then stay true to that. I don't want to have to fall with somebody else. I just want to stand firmly as my own center of support. And when people get to that point of awareness, it becomes one of the most, it's so powerful. And I watch people's entire conviction in themselves just change by realizing they're their own center of support. So that could possibly be the most important advice I could offer.
I love that. So beautiful. So well spoken. I'm going to add a PS to it that I think one of the things that overwhelms us and paralyzes us is we think, well, I have to get these people to do this and I have to get these people to do that. And I would suggest those of you that are stuck, there's only one thing you need to get, and that's for you to get you to do the one thing that you can actually control in this process. You can't control whether people are going to enroll. You can't control whether they're going to show up to a class. They have, as Melissa said, their own paradigm, their own priorities, their own life going on, right? They don't see it through your eyes. They see it through their eyes, and it's a totally different story than, you know, we all have this, oh, I know why I'm doing Young Living. I'm going to build this. I'm going to rank advance. We have this vision, right? And we're talking to these people out there. And if we could see that the way they see it, they're like, huh? What? Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I would never do that, right? Mm-hmm. They see it totally different. There's only one thing that you can actually do that makes a difference in terms of your actions. And that's, doesn't matter what word you use. Some people word share, some people word, I use the word invite. But if you just invite people to take a look, and let whatever happens out of that happen. You know, you can invite one person a day to take a look. I know you can do it.
Yeah.
And you can just start there, just one a day. It takes about 5 minutes, maybe 10 at the most, and let go of the fact of whether they say yes, no, or maybe, or they get in. Just invite one person a day. That's how you get unstuck, is if you take what Melissa said and I love that authentic, like, do it your way, craft it your way, visualize it your way, and just step into that and don't step into overwhelm. And the overwhelm comes with, well, how do I get everybody else? You don't. You just get you. And I'll tell you what happens when you and I get in consistent action, just the little thing like an invite. You may not see miracles in the first week. Maybe not in the first 2 weeks, but boy, after 3 or 4 weeks of a daily invite, Katie barred the door, miracles are going to show up, mm-hmm. right? Because the fact is, people do want to do what we're doing. They want these products. They need these products. They need that $500 a month. They need an opportunity. They need hope.
You know, Richard, for a long time, I never reached out to my upline to ask because I was afraid, because of how broke I was, I was afraid that I would have to pay for business training advice. I just didn't know how it worked. And so I thought, okay, what if she has a business training, but you have to pay to go to trainings? I don't have money to pay to go to this training. So for a long time, I didn't even ask. So it always makes me, I always think about that. How many people are in my team that want to ask, but they're afraid to because they think they're going to have to pay for the advice or they're going to have to pay to book a coaching call. And the other thing that I've learned is I can't go out and find leaders. I have to attract them. And you attract them by being attractive. So I always ask myself, am I making this business look attractive? Am I talking about it in a beautiful, honorable way? Or am I complaining about it? Because how many people do we hear complaining about their downline or complaining about their upline or complaining because shipping was bad or whatever the millions of things people complain about? Complaining isn't attractive. It's not sexy. And so if you want to find leaders, you're not. You have to attract them. So I always ask myself, am I making this business look attractive?
Yeah, one of the cliches that I love is there's no whining on the yacht.
No, I love that. There's no whining on the yacht allowed. There's no whining. There's class.
And we are on a yacht, right? Yeah. Young Living is a yacht. Young Living is a gift. This is the most extraordinary network marketing opportunity out of 1,000 companies, 3,000 worldwide. It's number one. It's number one in culture, number one in retention, number one in product. It's probably even number one in compensation. Mm-hmm. Crazy. What an extraordinary opportunity we have. And yeah, you don't attract any people by whining about the yacht.
No, you have no idea how many times I'm going to use that quote now. I'm going to be telling it to my kids. That's going to be my new parenting motto.
Exactly.
On the yacht.
There's no whining on the pepping yacht.
No.
You kids, and what you need to get your kids is, what did you call those jugs of water that you hauled as a kid because you didn't have Tyrex or Zyrex?
No, it was empty Hilux bleach bottles. So we'd keep those empty jugs and we would, because the water at my grandparents' house was not out of the well. It just, you wouldn't have wanted to drink it and it was unsafe. So on the weekends we'd go to the farm. And so we'd fill up those empty jugs with water and then that would be our drinking water for the week. So yeah, I should.
Be good for you to get some of those and plant them around your house.
Yeah.
And when you hear whining, just point to those. Yeah. Go fetch some water.
And every time they whine, I'm going to make them put a quarter in it or a dollar. Yes.
Right. Hey, Melissa, beautiful, beautiful story. We could talk for hours about your philosophies and your product education and your, you know, the ideas that you've developed in DYI and your books. Tell us just for a minute about Before Beauty. What's that book about? What are you doing with that? I think everybody should know about that.
So I started out with the Chemical Free Home book collection, right. And that actually is a lot of the things that my grandmother taught me how to craft, and then I just enhanced them with essential oil. So they've been such a great staple for people to have crafting ateliers, workshops, make and takes, whatever you want to call them. But when I started to really branch into how to create the confidence within yourself and how to really just design your life, I thought about, we have this outer beauty, but I want to talk about what happens before you even have the confidence to get to that beauty, because you have to dig deep within yourself. And so Before Beauty is, you know, before we put on the makeup, before we do the hair, when you strip yourself down at the end of the day, you are left with this gorgeous shell of who you are, armed in nothing, clothed in nothing but your hopes and your dreams. but you have to be able to craft a very good self-image statement. We will never, ever outperform our self-image of ourselves. And we have to start by holding a superior view of ourselves and the life we want and what we can actually accomplish. And so Before Beauty really walks you through how to shed the things that we don't need to carry with us anymore and how to rewrite your story no matter where you came from. And then I've recently launched Design Your Life, which is meant to be, people can use it as a daily journal. There's 40 entries in it. So you could use it as a weekly journal and have it take you 40 weeks. Some people like to do it daily and it takes you 40 days. But it's just thought-provoking, emotion-digging work that helps you also kind of cultivate how do you want to see yourself.
Beautiful. And people can find all of that at melissapepping.com.
They sure can.
Last question. What would you recommend people do with these interviews, Road to Diamond? Like, how could these interviews, there's about 30 of them so far, when I'm done, which will be never because people are going to outrank advance my ability to interview them. But I mean, if I got everybody there was already Diamond or above, I suppose there'd be 400 interviews at Road to Diamond. What would you recommend people do with these?
I see people take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of that, and they try to, do what everyone, it's kind of like, squirrel, over here, they're doing this, so I gotta go do this. So now they're doing that, so I gotta go do that. Here's what I have found that best serves me. I found one person that really resonated to every fiber of my being. Their philosophy made sense. I loved their teaching style. I loved what they represented. Just, it was the whole picture of everything. Just everything was right there. And so I follow that work. And so those are the books that I read. It all goes to that philosophy, that law of attraction philosophy, right? And so when I follow that one course, I get closer to where it is I want to go rather than doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of that. It would almost be like doing multiple network marketing companies, right? You can be good at a lot of things, but you can only really be successful at one of them. And so I would suggest to people, listen to as many of the interviews as you can because you're going to gain great knowledge, but really hone in on the one or two that really truly resonate with you and then watch those interviews over and over again. Learn their style of talking. Learn where their passion comes from when they're speaking. And all of a sudden, you'll be able to understand a different level of awareness of their success. And it becomes this beautiful thing that starts to unfold. So whether right or wrong, that'd be my advice. When I found Bob Proctor, that just resonated with me. And so that's what I follow. For some people, it's finding Tony Robbins. For some people, it's finding Sarah Robbins, Danny Johnson. There's Eric Worre. I could go on and on. You, there's so many people. But when you find the one, like Richard, that's why you and I could talk for hours and hours because we follow that same philosophy. And it's a beautiful philosophy.
That's awesome. You got awesome advice. So there you go, folks. Listen, find the one that resonates with you the most and then master it. Like, don't listen to it. Be able to be it. Teach it. Doesn't mean you won't add your own authenticity to it. You absolutely will. But I love that advice. Instead of being a hodgepodge of a little bit of this and a little bit of that, find home. In Hawaii, we call it our aina. It's our dirt. Melissa's dirt is in Spring Hill, Minnesota. Our dirt is in Lanai, Hawaii. And when you find your dirt, that's where you can build your home, right? Melissa, thank you so much for contributing this hour. We could spend days, right? That would be inspiring. I appreciate your contribution.
That'd be fun. I'll come to you.
Pardon?
I said that would be fun, but I'll come to you. I'll come to Hawaii. I'll check out some of my dirt, and then I'll just go there to get some of your dirt.
Yeah, bring a jar of Spring Hill to Hawaii, and then you can take one home. Thank you so much. Thank all of you for listening and spreading the word of Road to Diamond, both asking your upline to participate in these interviews and promoting these interviews to people in your team. You listen to these every week. You can't help but be successful. Until next time, Richard Blissbrook, Road to Diamond. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.